Welcome to the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. This is the place where you'll get practical, actionable help on how you can preach and lead better. Our ministry partner for this episode is Disciple Labs. Disciple Labs is a brand new software that I'm excited to be using at The Crossing where I serve. Basically what it is it is a software that allows you to measure the spiritual health of your people. It allows you to measure beyond just tracking attendance or giving or baptisms, but to also dive into how they're doing in their daily walk with the Lord. You'll be able to identify trends, recognize areas that need improvement in each individual and in each ministry area. There's no more guesswork. You can get a full picture of how your church is doing at making disciples, and you can implement changes necessary to make a bigger impact. So if you're ready to unlock the spiritual health data in your church, I encourage you to go to rookiepreacher.com/disciple labs. That's rookiepreacher.com/disciple labs. Back in the mid-1980s, there was a conference that was started. In 1984, architect and graphic designer Richard Saul Wurman observed a convergence of the fields of technology, entertainment, and design. What was that conference? The TED Conference. You may have heard of it. And ever since then, especially since the year 2000, they have grown exponentially, and the TED Talk has become a thing. It's a thing. And many communication people, or people just observing the way the TED Talk is engaging and the way many sermons are not, have said, hey, sermons should be 18 minutes. We should take the same principles from the TED Talk and we should infuse them inside of the sermon every single week. People are saying that our attention spans are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. That we, with our smartphones, we go from one thing to the next, and to keep our attention is nearly impossible. So what do we do as preachers in a day and time where, allegedly, people's attention is getting smaller? Well, let me just push up against that. We watch Netflix 50-minute TV shows, we watch movies, we watch sports games, and our attention is on them. I don't think we have an attention span detriment that we're up against. I think we have an engagement thing that we're up against. If we can engage people, then we can talk for however long we need to. Here's my conviction. Shorter sermons simply aren't always better. Shorter sermons simply aren't always better. And I'm going to argue that point today on the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. People are losing their ability to pay attention. Just pay attention to the next TV show, or can you? Watch the next TV show and pay attention to how many angle changes they have every few seconds. It's on this angle, boom, it shifts, boom, it shifts every few seconds. Because, you know, people just aren't able to focus as long as they used to. But then again, maybe that's just a load of you know what. Maybe that's not the case at all. Maybe we're just not preaching in a way that is holding people's attention. Maybe it's not that they don't have attention to give, but they just aren't interested in giving it to something that causes them to daydream about mowing the grass or worse, doing the dishes. This is what I know. People pay attention to what engages them, and this is only one of the reasons why I believe shorter sermons aren't always better. Now, instead of overreacting to the noise about people's attention spans, let's begin asking ourselves five different questions to determine how long we should preach a sermon. When people ask, like, what is the ideal length of a sermon, I really never know what to say. Why? Because I think the answer is going to be completely contextual. Now, if you take all the growing churches in America, in the world, and you try to see what the commonality is in the preaching, what you're going to find is that you're going to have as many answers to the question, what is the ideal length of a sermon, as there are churches. Like, it's just completely contextual. It's completely different. Because some growing churches include a 25-minute sermon, others include a 40-minute sermon, and yet others include an hour-long sermon. So what gives? Well, what I've discovered is that people will grow accustomed to the preaching culture of a church. So instead of falling into the, you know, shorter sermons are always better trap, let's begin to ask these five questions of ourselves to determine the best sermon length in our specific context. Number one, how engaging am I? Now, this is going to be something we have to be really honest with ourselves about, because reality is this is not going to be easy. So let's dive in. Number one, how engaging am I? Can you hold people's attention? Again, people pay attention to what engages them. Some people will be engaged with the sermon simply because it's a sermon. And while many will even give the preacher the benefit of the doubt for a few minutes, many people will engage with the sermon because of how engaging the preacher is. In no way does this mean that you should seek to simply entertain people, but let's be honest. Being funny or telling a good story isn't a bad thing. If you are an engaging preacher, you can afford to preach a little longer. So number two, how skilled am I at exposition? If we were only focused on our level of engagement, we'd be motivational speakers, okay? That's not what we're trying to do. Another factor, though, we should consider is how well we do in explaining what the text says. Let's be honest, you've been surprised at the growth of churches that don't get cute with the sermon series they preach. For example, like before its collapse, Mars Hill in Seattle, under the preaching of Mark Driscoll, featured sermon series like, get this, Ephesians and 1 John. How about that for hip and innovative? Here's the point. If you can park in one passage of scripture and frame an entire message around the text, walking through it, explaining the background context, the author's intended meaning, its place in the grand narrative of scripture, and today's application, you can afford to preach a little longer. Number three, what style of preaching do I adopt the most? This isn't the time to debate the best style of preaching, but simply to ask the question, which one is your next sermon? Are you preaching a topical sermon that features multiple passages or verses being used that can either be run through quickly or they can be explained in a way that takes each passage's context into account? Or expository sermons that feature one verse may take less time than an expository sermon that is on a passage of five verses or more. Think of it this way. If you have a topical sermon, one passage, plus the context, that's going to be short to medium length of a sermon. But if you have a topical sermon plus multiple passages and verses, minus the context, then if you're not given context for each of those passages, then you can, again, have a short to medium length sermon. But if you have a topical sermon plus multiple passages and verses, plus the context for each of those, if you want to give the full weight of those passages and verses, then you're going to have a medium to long length sermon. Like, there's no way around that. Or let's say you're doing an expository sermon. You got one verse plus context that's short to medium length. Or if you have an expository sermon plus multiple verses plus context, then you're going to have medium to long length sermon. Because the sermon length conversation is a tough one to nail down, because each sermon and sermon series may take on its own style from the options above. And as an aside, I always advocate for doing exposical sermons, where it can be expository and topical, if it wants to be, either way. I got a link in the show notes at rookiepreacher.com/PLP9 if you would like to check that out. What I mean by that, what's an expositional sermon? How does that work? Number four, how many takeaways do I want to identify and share? Charles Stanley is known for 20-point sermons, while his son is known, Andy, for 1-point sermons. So which end of the spectrum do you find yourself the most? Because let's face it, if you're going to give 20 points, it's going to take a while. If you're going to give 1 point, you could possibly have a shorter sermon. Doesn't always mean that, but you could. Consider this. The more takeaways you give, the more rabbit trails you may justify going down, and the more scattered your messages may be, the longer your message, your sermon, will be. And if you followed us here at rookiepreacher.com for any length of time, you know we advocate for 1-point sermons. You know, yes, we've drunk the Andy Stanley Kool-Aid, so to speak, in this matter, but here's what 1-point sermons do. They focus your message toward a single direction, and they help your listeners take action. That's what we want, right? Because if you still want to preach 5 points, be prepared to A, preach longer, and B, sometimes have more scattered messages. where you, it just kind of, it doesn't flow exactly the way it should. If you want to preach one point, be prepared to preach however long it takes to naturally arrive at that point. Start with the text and let the point come out, and then be sure to preach that point from four different angles. Let me dive into those real quick, and I'll include a link in our show notes to this in more detail, just four angles to preach from every time that you get up to preach. But I want to give you these really quick. So the four angles we should preach, and this is under, question number four, how many takeaways do I want to identify and share? This is all related in there. So number one, preach from the historical angle. What did this mean at the time that it was written for the original hearers? Number two, the Heavenly Father's angle. You know, what was God the Father up to in this moment? Number three, Christ's angle. Every time we preach, we should preach the gospel of Jesus every single time. So is this passage pointing back to redemption? Is it pointing toward redemption? Is it pointing at redemption? Is it happening in that moment in that text? No matter the passage, it's going to be doing one of those things. It's either going to be pointing toward redemption in the future. It's going to be pointing at redemption in the present when we're talking about the scripture passage, or it's going to be pointing back to redemption. So pretty much all of the New Testament, when you get past the Gospels, it's pointing back to redemption, and it's pointing toward Jesus' coming, his second coming, his return. Number four, the fourth angle, the Holy Spirit's angle. And, you know, in some circles, this angle gets all the love, and other angles, or other circles, it gets no love at all. But if we look at the Holy Spirit's angle, that's going to propel us toward the fact that the gospel is more than salvation, and it has to do with us actually living out our faith today. So what does that look like? Is this passage, of course it is in some way, how is this applying to our day and time today? If we can see what God is doing today, we can better apply scripture to people's lives. So if you want to dive into that more, again, go to the show notes at rookiepreacher.com/PLP9. Number five, what is my church worship services context? This is a huge one. This is a huge one. Here are three questions I think will help you determine the context of your church's worship service. Okay. Number one, do we set aside a designated amount of time for preaching? Do you just have a time frame? If you have multiple services, this becomes more important because they require more organization and consistency. Don't preach longer than you're supposed to, especially if you have multiple sermons. At The Crossing, we have anywhere between 35 minutes and 45 minutes. Our worship pastor, Jay, he loves for us to stick to the 35-minute mark, but Kenny and I tend to sometimes go over that. And then also, you know, if you're having a special service, sometimes these things shift. And so just recently we had a baptism service, baptism services all throughout last week. 41 people baptized, which was fantastic, amazing to see. But the sermon was going to be shorter. And so it was more like 30 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes, something like that. So number two, how long does the sermon usually go? People learn what to expect based on what has become the norm. So if you're going to be going from preaching 25-minute messages and you feel like I'm giving you justification to go and preach 35 minutes or 45 minutes, then your people may be kind of wondering, hey, what the heck is going on? I got to get to lunch. And that's not for them to be, you know, that's not anything against them. That's just their expectation and what you've given them an expectation to, you know, to grab hold of and keep. So if you're going to switch it up, that's something to keep in mind. Number three, how much time is the children's ministry prepared for? This is probably the most important one. Because if you decide you want to preach longer sermons, but the children's ministry isn't prepared for 20 extra minutes, it may be hard to keep people serving in the children's ministry. Make sure your kids' ministry, your children's ministry is prepared if you're going to be preaching longer. And if you've been preaching 40 minutes and you're going to go down to 30, then make sure they are aware of the change so they can make sure that they use that time that they have in the best, most effective way. So here's what I've noticed about growing churches. growing churches feature engaging, gospel-proclaiming preaching. I don't know how long your sermons should be. Should they be shorter? Maybe. Should they be longer? Maybe. I don't know. But I do know that whatever length they are, they need to be engaging and gospel-proclaiming. You need to hone your voice, be who you are, and preach Christ crucified every time. If you want to fine-tune your preaching and become more engaging, you'll want to grab our new book, Preaching Sticky Sermons. It is a guide to preparing, writing, and delivering memorable sermons. And you can find that on Amazon and in the show notes at rookiepreacher.com/PLP9. So with this, I'm curious, what's your opinion on sermon length? Tom Rainer has shown that there are a lot of opinions on sermon length. I've got a link to an article where he talks about that in the show notes, and you can check that out. But I'd love to hear what your comments are, your opinion is on sermon length. So go ahead and connect with us on Twitter. You can find us at Twitter at twitter.com/rookie_preacher. You can find us at Facebook. We have a Facebook group, which is our best spot, especially for conversations like this. Just go into the search bar on Facebook and type in Preaching and Leadership, and our Facebook group should show up right there. Preaching and Leadership by rookiepreacher.com. Again, also, this will be in the show notes. And you can connect with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rookiepreacher. Would love to connect with you there on social media, and let us know what your opinion is on sermon length. That'll do it for another episode of the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. So glad that you have joined me on this. Hope it was helpful. If you would, go to iTunes, leave a rating and a review, and subscribe to the podcast on your podcasting app of choice. Would love to see you do that. And just share it if you found this to be helpful, if you found this to be a compelling conversation. Would love to hear from you. Again, go to the show notes. You can find all that at rookiepreacher.com/PLP9. Big thanks to our ministry partner today, Disciple Labs. You can learn more at rookiepreacher.com/Disciple Labs. That'll do it. Have a great week. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.